So today I'm so happy and excited, and my heart is full of joy that I can welcome Dr. Julie Kroll from the United States to the Conscious Evolution Summit. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Priya. Thank you.
And just before you can share a bit your background and where your passion is, I just want to invite everyone who is now tuned in our conversation and joining the space to really to take a moment to kind of let drop everything what was just before you came into our space and really settle your awareness in your body right now. Feel your body, feel your feet on the ground, and just be aware of your body, of your feelings, of the space. And I also want to invite you to really become aware that you are not alone. We come together as a big group which is passionate and excited about our conscious evolution, and just also expand your awareness into the huge space around the world, around the whole cosmos, where we on this planet, the planet itself, is evolving and is in a huge transition journey, and with that influencing the whole cosmos, and just really expand into that space. And yeah, and then just Julie, I would really appreciate if you could just share a bit of your background and and basically then making this bridge to your love and your passion about this topic of our conscious evolution.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Just that settling is so perfect. Thank you for that. And feeling into our conscious evolution and the evolution of consciousness is so in every cell of my being. So I'm awake and just vibrating right now. Thank you for that. And we'll move toward that. I would just share my professional journey, but it really does start back in childhood. So I'm just going to share briefly, go back in time, because often people will ask me, how did you get here and what have you? But as a little girl, I found myself really not wanting to be on this planet and really not wanting to do this human thing, and had a near-death experience when I was 4 years old. And so from that place of near-death experience, it was as if a lot of my gifts and abilities and consciousness was expanded and opened and left open at that time. So I continued to have this conversation with the universe and with God, creator, source, and, you know, asking these questions. What's going on the planet? Who are we? Why are we here? Why do humans treat each other like this? And when I was 11 years old, I really didn't want to be here. And I was having one of these ongoing conversations that I normally had with the universe, and went outside, sat on the grass saying, I don't understand these humans. I don't know why they treat each other like this. What is, you know, I don't want to be here. Can't I just come home, thinking of, you know, who we are and the collective essence of who we really are in our the true nature. So I, from that place, had a very another powerful, profound out of body experience of non-ordinary consciousness, like we call it from the psychology field, and was out in the cosmos and being shown what's happening on our planet now and what would be happening as we wake to what's going on with the evolution of consciousness and our conscious evolution. So I was just shown that from a very young age and always knew that that was mine to do, to help, to facilitate, to be a part of that great awakening on our planet. So I went through life. So now I'll give you the credential part of what we do as humans on the planet. Went on to study psychology, became a psychotherapist, got my PhD in counseling psychology, but continued to study consciousness and healing and Eastern and Western traditions, spirituality, consciousness, the convergence of science and spirituality. I just went on a long, lifelong journey of study. Had a 30 plus year career working with clients individually, one-on-one, and then knew back about a decade ago, it's like it's time to start working more as a planetary healer. So began working with people around the world, working with different organizations and individuals who are working toward this goal of the evolution of consciousness and conscious evolution on our planet. I keep saying them both because it's like time for us to really differentiate that we are evolving consciously and yet our consciousness is also a part of that evolution. So began working with individuals, started working with Barbara Marks Hubbard back in 2010, 2011, and pulling together different groups of people. And at that time, in December 2012, an organization was conceived with Barbara's inspiration and us, what she would say, joining genius instead of joining genes. We were joining genius, and so I founded the organization Good of the Whole and began working with different evolutionary leaders, started a radio show. So it kind of moved from that individual healing out toward more global work. So I started a radio show, the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, started working with these evolutionary leaders around the planet and evolving that. And since then, I had a little traumatic accident myself, which put me in a chair, which really called forth a book that I wrote. So I wrote my first book and now working on book two. The new book is just coming out right now. So it's called Fractured Grace, How to Create Beauty, Peace, and Healing for Yourself and the World. So that kind of is a long, sorry, Parius, long story, brings us back to present moment, but I'm doing a lot of different things with evolutionary leaders and really helping to kind of resource and tool and educate those who are ready to help with the global transition on the planet. So facilitating the readiness of global transition specialists to do this work in every walk of life, from a preschool teacher to a service worker to a government official. It's like, how do we bring this consciousness into every realm, into every walk of life now, and feel equipped and adequate to evolve consciousness on the planet and to evolve every system and structure that was born in that old consciousness that's now breaking down, and how to rebuild with the new our new understanding of who we are as ourselves. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. And I mean, I really love it, and it wasn't too long, and it gives us really a bit of a insight into your universe, so to speak. And I just wonder, I mean, we share some things. I was older when I had an out-of-body experience. And when I was about 17, I would say I had this first encounter where I would really be aware of my ageless part, and which isn't really touched by circumstances, where I really felt inwardly, this is eternal and this is not bound to this physical form, which is now just a vehicle in this life. But I just wonder, what did you found out because I mean, when you meet people which had this experiences, you kind of, we have a saying in German, I don't know if you can translate it directly, but you come to just open doors. They know what you are talking about. But I mean, Some have those experiences, some have it not on an individual level. What supports us to really bring, have this as a deep understanding, not just cognitive things we just read somewhere, you know?
When I listen to you, I'm reminded of being a little girl. And as a little girl, I think people, if you can come back to that sense of wonder, you're right. Many people will say, well, I didn't have a near-death experience, or I don't have out-of-body experience, or I'm not, and like, I've had a lifetime of that, right? Like, it didn't stop when I was 11. That was that second one. I was 11 years old. But from a little girl, I remember laying out on the grass, looking up to the stars, and feeling that sense that I've been here forever, that I'm a part of all of it. And I think I was at a very young age when I felt that, but it was like, I wasn't just born and started, you know, then like 12 years ago or 17 years ago or whatever that was. Like, I wasn't just born then. I've been a part of everything forever, and I'll go on forever. And I think that that sense is something that we all can tap into, whether we've had a out of body experience or not, or these non-ordinary senses that we have. We all have real subtle experiences of non-ordinary consciousness, but we don't think about it. Everyone dreams in their sleep. Many will say, I don't dream. Well, you dream, but you don't remember. But we've all had different states of consciousness. There's stages of consciousness where we develop different awareness of ourselves in the world, where we lose our sense of individuality and come into the unity. So there's stages of consciousness. And then we have states of consciousness. So the dream state is one, where if you think about the magic of a dream, it's like we don't identify with a body in our dreams. We identify with a consciousness, and then it's like we're we can do almost anything. And I love thinking about the dream state as one, but we can also have those moments where we're in nature, we're in a garden, we're in a forest, we're at the ocean, and we just lose our sense of self and become one with everything. So in some sense, we all have those little glimpses of that infinite self and that timeless self. So without time and space, we go to that timeless, infinite space. We all have glimpses of it. And a lot of times our ego mind, simple self, separate self, comes back into form and structure and like disregards those moments. But of course, now on the planet, more and more we're waking to meditation and different spiritual practices and communing with the sacred and communing with nature. So more and more, this is happening on every continent, in every country, all over the world. People are experiencing this more and more. So if there's anyone listening that says, I haven't had one of those experiences, just begin to tune in a little bit more, because literally this is this frequency of oneness, this frequency of who we are, this unity of our consciousness as one unified field. And when we literally just learn how to tune into that, you will viscerally experience it as well. And a lot of times we move into a fear. And this is a really important part of the conversation, is a lot of times our waking consciousness in three-dimensional form will feel that expansiveness, losing ourself, losing our identity, losing our body, and go into that unified field. And then there's a fear of, oh my gosh, and that brings us back down into our body. So I don't know if that is,
absolutely.
I think it's really helpful to presence that we're all having these experiences, whether you feel one with that flower in your garden, or whether you're, you know, we all have these experiences all the time.
Yeah, or thank you so much for this beautiful descriptions. And I just want to add what often kind of supported me, because awareness can also, although I had experiences where I really know that I'm not this body and not this limitness, but awareness can also kind of shift again in this limitations in personality, in roles, in whatever. And what I found really supportive is this really subtle and curious investigation. Do I have really an end? Is there really and boundary? And when I really investigate deeply in that, I always come in this vastness and limitlessness, and this is just what works for me. And yeah, it's different for different people. Or what I just recently read in a book from David Hawkins is relate more to the context than to the things or the content.
Yeah,
because this also brings you more in this, what you said, this frequency of spaciousness and the space between us, and not just the identities and the fixations and the structure.
And yet, I think this is an important piece of where we're at in this time on the planet, is that understanding ourselves in that way, the individual personality, ego, gifts, structure of who we are is really important to embrace. We're not on the planet to lose all that and to leave our bodies and just be the one consciousness right now. We really are about bringing that consciousness into this form completely, because as this form, I am a living cell within this greater planetary body. And that one consciousness of source that's sourcing me is sourcing the entire planetary body. So my unique individual gifts, perspectives, talents, ideas, thoughts are a part of my work within the cell of who I am working. If you think of a planetary body, if you think of an individual body, we have individual cells, which are a part of tissues, which form different organs, which form different systems. And so like you and I are here right now having this conversation about conscious evolution. So we are part of one organ and one system on the planet that's raising awareness right now, right? That's like, whether that's the central nervous system waking the rest of the cells up, or whether that's, you know, whatever that might be, that we honor ourselves as individual, that unity and unitive consciousness really isn't about us losing who we are. It's expressing more of who we are with that information totally informing us and our work in the world and who we are and the expression of that consciousness. It's all about us expressing that, right?
Thank you so much. I mean, this is one of the most beautiful explanation, really embodying our spirituality, our energy, our spaciousness into the form, into the physical. I love it. You found really beautiful words to describe it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, and then kind of from here, really also bridging to the collective, basically.
Yeah. Because this is the piece that a lot of times, for mass consciousness on the planet right now, it's a scary thing. So when I talked about those levels of consciousness, you mentioned David Hawkins, who talks about levels of consciousness, Ken Wilber, Richard Barrett. I mean, we have a lot of different theorists who are talking about those levels. And now we're talking about states of consciousness. But for those who are in mass consciousness right now, they're not feeling and experiencing our oneness. And we're waking up, and it's okay, and we're getting there. But for a big population on the planet, it is a scary place to be. So for your viewers of this summit, whether you are one of those conscious evolutionary leaders or whether you're just learning about this saying, wow, this sounds interesting, I'm going to tune in and I don't get it yet, it's our role and our responsibility to help gentle this now, because literally everything on the planet, everything was built on the consciousness that we are separate from one another. We at these lower levels of consciousness where we were literally born into the awareness that, oh, I've got a body. Oh, I'm human. Oh, I have thumbs. I heard somebody the other day talk about how superior we are as humans over everything else because we have thumbs and we can. That's the old way that we used to think. The old mechanics of physics of looking at ourselves as separate. Like, oh, so now we're humans and we can create tools and we can think and communicate, so we're better than. That level of consciousness built the world that we're living in. That level of consciousness, which was separation, the consciousness of separation, we created ourselves as separate from the earth and superior over it, right? Dominant over it. We can pillage and rape and take whatever resources we need from the earth because we're the whatever, the superior of that. We felt separate from one another. We felt separate from God, Creator, Source. So in our separateness, in that level of consciousness, we did a really good job of comparing and contrasting and understanding ourselves and then competing and being in conflict. So we competed. We had to be the best. We had to develop ourselves. The whole movement of human development was to say, oh, okay, I get to the top and I compete and I'm the best at what I could do and I'm going to make the most money and have the most things and and whatever, however we defined it for ourselves as humanity. That level of consciousness isn't our true nature. It's not the true nature of reality. So here's the piece that I bring in as the collective is that every system and structure on our planet was built from that level of consciousness. So we're talking about conscious evolution, right? That level of consciousness built communities, built education systems, built economic systems, financial systems, built healthcare systems. We built all these systems and structures believing we were separate from the earth, separate from one another, and separate from Creator. And now we know we're not. So what's happening is all these systems and structures are breaking down. Because they need to, right? They don't serve our highest good. They need to, they're breaking down or they're in transition and they're transforming just like we are, just like our consciousness. So as we're doing this conscious evolution on the planet, we need systems and structures that support who we really are in this unitive fashion, in this unitive identity. And so there's a lot of fear. The breaking down looks really ugly and scary. All the shadow, as more light's coming onto our planet, we're seeing all the shadows, we're seeing all the darkness, we're seeing the worst of us coming forward. And I think that that's an important point, Priya, is that we're talking about the worst of us instead of we and them. We're better than them and we get it and they don't get it. And so look what they're doing and look who we elected on that. Look who we elected in that nation and look who we elected here and look what's happening. It's like, this is us in transition, really bringing forward all of that that needs to be transformed and it's coming into the light and we're seeing it and everything is okay. We're really building amazing, beautiful systems and structures. There's solutions to everything on the planet. They're already here. There's networks of networks of these amazing evolutionaries who understand this consciousness, but we need to comfort those who are in fear. We need to gentle this transition so people really understand that there's meaning and purpose to this chaos on the planet right now.
Hmm. Yes, beautiful. And I always kind of, I mean, naturally, what always supported me, I'm really so connected to what is coming, what is emerging. So yes, I can sense the pain with the chaos and with the fear. And I also have parts in my system where I can relate to that. But also when I move awareness to, the unity and kind of, for me, future isn't really something in the future. It's already here in a way. I sense it here, just not visible everywhere. Yeah. So that gives me optimism and hope and joy, basically, because I sense we are so moving into a direction which I'm attracted towards. Yeah.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful way of looking at it that I think is really important for everyone to really contemplate, because as we look at bringing spirit into matter, as we look at the new physics of literally informing that the center of the universe is informing the systems and structures that are coming, you're exactly right. Like, it's already been done. It's already here. It's in that consciousness, and now we're bringing it into form. And it takes a while for matter to move and respond, and sometimes it doesn't. It's like that. It's a miracle. But the hope and optimism that you speak of is a really important piece, that how do we, as leaders, as teachers, as healers, as coaches, as, you know, everyone watching this is attracted to this topic for a reason, because they're a part of bringing this forward. And so that optimism and hope is an important piece of how do we hold that and continue to hold that vision that amazing, gorgeous, beautiful things are happening. Let's hold that beauty, that wholeness, the healing, and just like, not even focus on the crumbling of the systems and structures. Don't go toward the fear. Don't go toward the chaos. Where media pulls us in. It's like a magnetic attractor, and the media of, oh my gosh, look what happened today. It's easy to pull us into it, and then literally our consciousness gets pulled into that. And another piece to remember, which is really important, is if we're looking at the collective consciousness and this unified field of consciousness, we can contribute that optimism and hope, or we can contribute more fear to that collective consciousness. So as we're focused on all the beauty and the magic and the majesty of what's informing right now, what's really coming and in that emergence process, and the presence of that consciousness, the presence of that source, presencing it more. As we hold that, the rest of the stuff will resolve. Mm-hmm. It will resolve and repurpose, and it's dissolving right before our eyes. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the image I just received while I was listening to you, Julie, is kind of like a metaphor in a garden. I will water something which I want to see growing. You know, I give my love, my care, water. I look that the temperature is all right to what I want to let grow, basically. And what not doesn't get water, doesn't get my attraction. Yeah.
Yes. You know, that brings me, I have this vision too. I want to share this because I think it's a really powerful metaphor. I had, I had been gone for 5 weeks from my home, and my daughter had a baby. So I went to be with her, and I came back home, and we have one garden patch that's a koi pond that's right outside of our back patios that we see. And we are going to shift that and change it now. And so it was left unattended while I was gone. And my husband was busy doing his thing, and I wasn't tending that small garden patch, which will be in transition. It's much like our world right now. But there is overgrowth of things I don't want in that garden because of that, like you said, the tending to. You water, you care for, you put your love and attention toward that which you want to grow. And if you don't put your love and attention there, life's itself, right? Life grows. Life perpetuates and continues. And so now in that garden, it feels out of control to me because I haven't tended it, which brings up the idea of co-creation, which is a really important concept for the evolution of consciousness on our planet. And what's happening is that we literally, as cells of this one planetary body, we are co-creators. We're creating with this source consciousness. So just like the garden, you described a beautiful way of co-creating. Like, as I'm looking at my garden, what do I want? We don't want certain, I'm going to call them weeds. Some people will say they're beautiful flowers, but there are weeds that we pull. There are things we don't water. You're right. There are things we'll literally dig up and leave and put on the compost pile. So when we put our attention on things, we literally are co-creating more life on this planet. And we can do it beautifully with purpose and intention and in alignment, or we can literally neglect it and it's chaos. Or, yeah, it's just a beautiful, I think, metaphor. Thank you for that garden one. But dropping in that idea of co-creating, because co-creation isn't two people cooperating or collaborating on a project. It really is tuning into creator source and then working with those around us in that consciousness to co-create. Yeah.
And this brings another short topic. I would love to hear your perspective on it because I had it with another speaker. This, how do we know that we are really in alignment, that we are not kind of following some egoistic attractions? How do I or do you know, sense, how does it feel? How does it show up in yourself when you have this this feeling of, yes, I'm really in alignment, I'm in tune with future, with source? Could you describe it?
I would love to. I just had this conversation with someone, with a group of people last week, this same conversation. And the two things come to mind for me. And the first is that visceral experience of that. I was saying to this group, we were talking about what does that feel like when we're in alignment so that we know it's not ego. And I have this huge project that's presented to me. It's so huge. It's so big. It's woken me up at night. So I wake up with a whiteboard and I'm writing notes and I'm putting it down and it's in front of me. And it will wake me up another night and give me more pieces. And I'll put it on the whiteboard and look at it. And when I walk away from that whiteboard and I think about it, it is so huge because I see the end picture and I was shown the first steps, which normally when something comes in, it's in its fullness and wholeness. I know it's not me, right? I know it's not me. I didn't create this. I don't have to figure it out. It's like it's coming in its wholeness. So it came in its wholeness. But for me as a creator, it came with the end in mind, but with steps that are small, like you're just going to start here and here's what's going to happen. When I'm in that space with it, there's this sense of peace and calm and a beauty and a perfection. It's like, yes, this is not mine. I'm stewarding this. I'm bringing this forward as an instrument of God's peace or creator, source. Like, this is so calming. And someone said the other day, well, don't you think the struggles are a part of us too? That the struggles are real too? And it's like, I think we struggle when we go into ego. And let me give you an example of ego, and then I want to tell you part two of this answer. So with ego, for me, and this idea of when I'm with this before me and I'm in that calm, the beauty, the magnificence, the peacefulness, I'm like going, wow, this is gorgeous. My ego can take me two directions past the essence of it. The one direction is, who am I to create this huge thing? It is way too big. I can't pull this off. I don't have enough resources. I don't know what I'm doing. Who am I to even imagine this? And my ego takes me there. Come back to center into this beauty, magnificence. Okay, amazing. The ego can also go, ah, this is the answer. This is it. This will make me feel da 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 da. It's all about me. I have the answer. I have the solution. This, I'm going to get rich with this one. This is huge. This is amazing. Now, what came was an abundance of resources in this whole package. Everything will be taken care of. And I could go into the, well, look at how it will make me. My identity, I'll be rich, I'll be famous, I'll be da-da-da-da-da. If I can pull, I'll pull this off. So it could be this, ego takes us into the, I'm not good enough, I'm not enough for this, or wow, look at me. But coming back to the truth of this, we come back to that peaceful, soulful place. So here's the second part of the answer that I think is really important of what you ask of how do we know? The second part that's probably the most important part is this good for the whole? Is this for the good of the whole? And if we're looking at all the transition on the planet and our part of it, we let go of ego. We bring the gifts of our identity. We bring the gifts, the personality, our quirks, you know, our flavors, our colors, we bring what's ours to this project, and we hold it in the place that it's for the good of the whole. Is it serving the good of the whole? Is it creating more wholeness? Is it serving me, or is it serving we? Is it serving, like, will I benefit? Of course. And here's this, the good of the whole is really this reciprocity with life and creation. It's more like a toroidal field or a torus energetically, if people can understand that, is if I'm to bring this forward for the good of the whole, the whole will take care of me. The whole will feed me and nourish me and bring me all the resources that I need to do my part in this. That if I'm serving the good of the whole is serving and supporting me. And that's a whole new way of consciousness of being on the planet. It's a whole new way of thinking. So like if I'm the heart and I'm a heart cell within the heart, I'm serving the whole body. I'm not just circulating blood to the heart. I'm circulating selflessly to the whole body. I'm pumping blood to every cell to get nourishment, to get oxygen, and I'm going through all those different organs to allow the cleaning up and the releasing and the letting go and bringing it back forward to the heart and lungs to release what we don't need. So as I'm being a heart cell within this body, I'm selflessly serving the good of the whole, but as a heart cell, I'm fully taken care of because the whole body needs me. And so that's another way, the second way of saying, besides that visceral feeling of that calm, that peace, that excitement, not too much excitement, but that contentment, like, oh wow, this is not mine. That's how I know it's real and I'm to do it. But the second piece is it serving the good of the whole? And that optimism and that hope that you spoke of earlier, if we look at that reciprocity process, we will come back into that optimism and that hope that, yeah, if I'm serving the good of the whole, I have to trust with optimism that the whole will take care of me. And that's an important construct that we're not used to in that other level of consciousness that's about comparing, contrasting, and competing. We don't think the whole will take care of me if I take care of the whole. We think I got to take care of myself. Survival of the fittest. We got to do this. Well, when we're here, we know and we trust that the whole takes care of us.
Yes, I so much agree. And yet there comes also an aspect, because especially I see it a lot with people which are, let's say, being on a social level in service, they often tend to kind of deplete themselves and overlook themselves and care for everything out there, but not for themselves. So for me, the whole, what I then also try to explain often is you are also part of the whole. It includes you. So it also includes you taking care for yourself as well as you do for some external things.
Yeah, because see, there's that part of that receiving. As the heart is receiving the blood coming back, the heart literally gives blood to the heart first, then pumps it out to the rest. So we receive and take care of ourselves. And we're a part of the taking care of ourselves, but not in a selfish way, like we talked about. Not that it's all about me, so I'm going to go out and do this. It's really understanding our role and responsibility of self and whole as one. Self and whole as one. Like, we can't say that enough right now to help people really understand that. It's self and whole as one, that we are whole when we're in that understanding of ourselves. You're so right. There's so many people that give, and totally neglect themselves, run out of gas, run out of energy. Yeah, so true. So true.
And I just wonder, Julie, because you mentioned this different stages of development, and I would say most of the people, without kind of making something better or wrong, but many people which are interested in this topic we are now having this beautiful exchange, I would say are more on higher stages of development. And I mean, there are two perspectives which I'm interested in, because you can look kind of down, and I want to emphasize it, it's not better and wrong, it's just different stages in development. You can serve them kind of in their growing, but you can also look forward and upwards to people which maybe are further developed than you. And maybe you could share a bit your perspective on these two positions, because I feel both of them really important, because I'm in between, and I serve some people, supporting them growing, and then I'm kind of also open to support where people help my further development.
Yes, that's a beautiful question. Thank you. And it's so important. And the number one thing to bring into this conversation and presence is compassion. To have compassion for all of us in our different stages. And I would say one thing, just before I address it, is we don't know what we don't know until we know it. Right? We don't know what we don't know. So you're right. We put levels because it's hard to conceptualize expanding consciousness. You know, so maybe it's more about expansion, like the universe, and our consciousness is like that. So, you know, maybe all the theorists are putting it in pyramids, and, you know, even Maslow did this hierarchy of needs and heading toward that self-actualization, but it really is more of this expansion of awareness and an understanding. And so, yes, there are those who are obviously everywhere, those who are farther along and understand the universe, see the universe different from us. And there are people who really are seeing themselves as separate. And a huge part of these levels, without judging them, is that if we really align all of our work with that idea that we don't know what we don't know until we know it, that it is a developmental process, and we don't expect a kindergartner to understand physics. We don't expect that. So we have compassion. This kindergartner's here. And so the judgment piece is really important for us, because a lot of new age people of this age of awakening is, instead of seeing this as a continual process, a lot of people have said, oh, I'm awake, I made it. I'm here, and they're not. And then we look at them and go, oh my gosh, look at what they're doing, look at how they see the world, look at the, blah, 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 you know, and we're in this judgment piece of it's us and them, awake and not awake. That's not true. It isn't that there's this awake, woke people. That's a thing over here in the U.S. right now. They're using this term woke as a fun term. It isn't a this and this. It really is this ineffable flow of energy and consciousness that's continuing to expand. And even those most enlightened on the planet continue to grow and expand in consciousness. We're not done yet. And here's what I believe to be true, is our models of consciousness right now on the planet that are in the textbooks and being taught aren't the whole picture. That's not the whole picture. There's more beyond that. And they're just stopping at this idea of these levels of consciousness. There's more beyond that. We just haven't put that into word and form and understanding yet. So we're not done. And we're in this, and think about that. It brings us back to the beginning of our conversation, where we are infinite and this limitless place of consciousness, that when it comes to there's no time, there's no space, there's no form, we are all of that. If we're really that, how could we even be put into those labels and, you know, and say, oh, you made it, you get that we're all one? No, you know, and that we're getting that we're one on different levels. So there's a lot of people who we see even teaching and writing and leading right now on the planet. There's many experts in the field who are teaching who have an idea about it, but it's disembodied. It's really not an embodied understanding of it. So I'm so glad you bring that up, because it just invites us into our humility and our compassion to say, I mean, all of us need to wake up and say to the universe today, okay, here's where I am today. What more can you show me? What more can you teach me? What more can I experience? And I'm open. And the invitation to just be open to consciousness and to not feel like I made it. It's not a destination or the top of a chart or a graph. It really is this infinite, gorgeous dance with the divine as we continue to express ourselves as that one consciousness through many different forms.
Wonderful. I'm happy that this question came, because I sense this is really very important, what you just shared. And I so much relate to this this I don't know and to this openness and this willingness to be surprised, to be open, that whatever I kind of thought would be right, that this is kind of all shattered and something very different appears. So yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, I love that surprise.
Yes, yes. I mean, I just sense that in general, this wonderful opportunity to be a spirit in a human body is such an adventure, an ongoing adventure, and so much to explore. So there is this sense, learning and exploring and finding out is a never ending, never ever.
and an epic, never ending love story.
Yes.
The greatest love story ever told, right?
Wow, I really like the flow in our conversation, and we are almost coming to the end of our time together, but I'm really open to whatever feels really relevant for you, because I know that you are so passionate about also this collectively evolving in consciousness. If there is anything left you would like to share with our audience.
When you asked that, the only thing that really presented to me was going back to that hope and that optimism, that to really be aware that many resources, individuals, organizations already exist to help support and facilitate this conscious evolution. So you started at the beginning by saying you're not alone. We are not alone. And there is a plethora of resources available to us. So even where systems and structures are breaking down, new systems and structures are emerging or have already emerged, and they're just waiting to gently take this place. This isn't fun, probably, conscious evolution on the planet. It's not fun at times, but it can be. It's exciting and it's scary. So I would just come back to that place of compassion and hope, that if you're in that place of you don't know what you don't know until you know it. If you're in this place of, oh my gosh, I don't see how any of this can help over here when this is happening here and this is happening here and they're going to go to war and this government is doing this. And as we're seeing the breakdowns, just know there are beautiful, amazing resources and emergent solutions to all of these issues we see before us, that they're just mere symptoms of the evolution. There are mere symptoms, the breakdown, the chaos, the what's happening on the planet, our climate, our culture, all of that is just a mere reflection of this evolution in process. So come back to that faith, and you don't need to know until it's time for you to know, and share that out. Like literally, come work with us. Like come on board. Be a global transition specialist and help, whether you're teaching in a school, whether you're working in a business, whether you're a governmental leader, whether you're you work local, whether you work global. We need to have these conversations in every realm, in every walk of life. And we can do this. We can do it together. So it really is about calming our central nervous system as we're moving toward wholeness and healing. Like, we don't heal if we're under stress. So our collective body needs to calm and needs to come into that peaceful homeostasis so all the healing can happen through that beautiful wisdom that's already there, through that amazing expression of source, of spirit that's there that can heal all things. So it's time for us to calm and bring us into that place of calm so that we allow the collective body to do what it needs to do.
Mm. Wow. Oh, I relate a lot to what you shared in the image. What I just got is, as with this calming and this calming of this nervous system, I just had this image of a mother which stays calm while the child is maybe in a temper tantrum or in chaos or in fear. And we can just look what represents for us this motherly calmness. Can be nature, can be a friend, can be a piece of music, can be just sitting in the forest for some minutes. I have a hammock out in the forest here next to the house. When I go there for 10 or 15 minutes, I really feel this, what you describe, this calming process. And then, so I'm really happy that you brought this up, that this is really an important piece where we kind of can contribute, then that whatever comes to the surface or whatever impulses come or whatever possibilities show up, we can really then see them because we are again in an open and receptive mode.
Mm. Mm. Beautiful.
Mm. So, I mean, thank you so much that you took the time to be in the Conscious Evolution Summit. I really loved the wisdom you shared here and the perspectives you brought. I'm so sure and convinced that many people will benefit from what you shared. And I just want to thank you for what you do and how available you are. And I will provide every website links and material you want to share with the audience. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was really my pleasure. It was just a fun, delightful conversation. I could do this all day long. So thank you for inviting me.
And thank you for you watching this conversation with us. I bet you were also touched in your heart. You got some insights and became inspired and really hopefully got a sense that we are together in this amazing journey and that we don't need to know everything. Just stay open and be surprised. So thank you so much for being with us.